All right, if you take your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 2 and then the Song of Solomon chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and the Song of Solomon chapter number 2. Go ahead and be turning there if you would, please, and we'll read those couple verses together this morning. At Christmas time, we always think about the flowers of Christmas as being the Christmas poinsettia. And yet there is another flower that oftentimes we don't recognize, and that is a Christmas rose. And this Christmas rose is what we want to preach about this morning. And so if you found your place in Luke chapter number 2, and then back in the Old Testament, the Song of Solomon chapter number 2, if you'll be finding both of those, and once you have found both of those, if you'd stand with me, please, we'll read two verses of Scripture. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and then Luke, chapter 2. We'll begin in the New Testament and then go back to the Song of Solomon. In Luke, chapter 2, and verse number 11, the Bible said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now that is the Christmas part of the message. Back in the Song of Solomon, and chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys." Here you find the rose part mentioned in the Song of Solomon. And so for the title of the message today, I want to speak to you just a little while on the subject, the Christmas rose. Let's pray together. Father, we need your help. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might guide our thoughts in the next few minutes. May the Spirit of God deal in our hearts today. May we magnify the Lord Jesus. Father, may we lift him up today. And you've said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. And so, Father, we commit that unto you today. We pray that you'd bind every opposing force, every demonic power of hell. Give sweet victory for those that are in bondage today. We will praise you for all that's done. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. The Bible tells us here in the Song of Solomon, chapter number 2 and verse number 1, it is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as the shepherd is speaking about his love for this Shunammite girl. And he says there that I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. There is indeed a phenomenon, you may say, a Christmas rose that blooms this time of year. When the Lord Jesus was born in the city of David, we know that he was born of a virgin, and the Christmas rose came to life. The rose of Sharon blossomed that day in which he was born. There is a real Christmas rose. If you were to go and look at those pictures of a Christmas rose, you would find that there are four colors of the Christmas rose. When they blossom, according to the World Book Encyclopedia, they come in a variety of colors. They come in the color of white. They are in the color of red, the color blue, and then the color of purple. And beloved, each one of those colors signify some attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ. The white rose symbolizes his purity, for indeed he was born of a virgin, not conceived as you and I, without sin. We thank God today that he was born of a virgin, for had he been born any other way, you and I would have no Savior. But thank God he was born of a virgin, lived a spotless, sinless life, went to Calvary's cross and died for the sins of mankind. When the Bible said that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. On Calvary's cross, all the sins of the world were laid on Jesus. Every sin that you will commit, every sin that you have committed was laid on Jesus. And the white speaks of his purity. I'm glad today that he was the spotless, sinless Lamb of God when he went to Calvary. Second of all, the rose of Sharon The Christmas rose is red. That speaks of his blood. For the Bible says, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In this age in which we live, there are men and people today trying to convert individuals without the preaching of the blood. May I remind you, my friend, it has always been the blood, and it will always be the blood. No other way can a man be saved. What can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash me pure and clean? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. As William Cowper penned that immortal song, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners can plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. I'm glad that the blood of Jesus washes us pure and clean. But then also that Christmas rose is blue, and the color blue speaks of his royalty. My friend, truly, as the Bible said, he is born King of the Jews. He was born, even though in a lowly stable, even though he condescended from heaven, he's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day he will return riding upon a white stallion. One day he'll come back to this world again, not as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, not to be spit upon on Calvary's cross, but he comes back as a conquering war hero. And the Bible said that he'll speak and a sharp sword will protrude out of his mouth. And at the Battle of Armageddon, as the Bible said, he'll have on his vesture a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Make no mistake, my friend, the world leaders of today, though they be in Russia, though they be in Iraq, or even in the United States, cannot hold a candle to him that is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's got everything under control. There's nothing that's taken him by surprise, even though we may think things are getting rough and getting dark. Rest assured, my God has it all under control. He is the great I Am. But then fourth of all, the purple Christmas rose speaks of his majesty. The Bible said there, and in Pilate's judgment hall, as they placed that purple robe upon him, and they mocked him, and they scourged him, they laughed at him. But friend, that purple robe spoke of his majesty. He is, my friend, majestic above everything. As Isaiah said, for unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he went on to say that the government shall rest upon his shoulders. I'm glad to tell you that my God in which I serve, he's majestic, he's altogether lovely, he's altogether perfect, he's altogether lovely. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. My friend, these are the real colors of the Rose of Sharon. And all those colors have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing about this Rose of Sharon, this Christmas rose, it blooms where it is planted, regardless of where it may be planted, among the thorns, among the rocks. The Rose of Sharon, it'll bloom regardless of where it's planted. And beloved, the Lord Jesus bloomed when he was down here. He blossomed in his cradle. The very fact that Christmas here is upon us, the very first Christmas, he blossomed. He is the reason why we have Christmas. He is the reason why we celebrate. It's not because of Santa Claus. It's not because of Saint Nick. But it's because of the Lord Jesus, birthed into Bethlehem's manger. It's because of Jesus, born of a virgin, that we have the Christmas celebration. He blossomed in his church at age of 12. He entered into the temple, and there he confounded those wise scribes and Pharisees. He opened up the scriptures, and beloved, they said, "We don't understand. How can a little 12-year-old boy understand the Bible as this boy does?" But my friend, may I say, he blossomed in the church. And oh, listen, the Word of God is still precious unto us today. It is precious. Do you realize that the number one best-selling book there is of all time is the Word of God? I'm glad to tell you that heaven and earth may pass away, but my word, he said, shall never, ever pass away. Times may come, times may go, but the Word of God remains firm and stand. And he blossomed in the church, but he blossomed in his calling at age 30 to 33. He blossomed. He preached. He taught. He healed. He rebuked. He forgave sin. He performed miracles. He blessed the hearts of men and women. He fed the hungry. He opened up a way of salvation. And he blossomed in the years that he preached, the 3 years of his calling. But then he blossomed on the cross of Calvary. When he said, "It is finished," he took upon him the sin of the world. When he cried to his Father, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He laid the sins of the world upon Jesus that day, and he blossomed. "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." That day that he gave up the spirit, that day, my friend, he could have called 12 legions of angels. That day he could have come down off the cross. That day he could have set himself free. But he died alone for you and for me. But he blossomed that day on Calvary. He blossomed that day when the sky went to pitch blackness and stayed dark from 12 o'clock until 3 that afternoon. He blossomed that day that the earthquake shook this earth. He blossomed that day when in darkness and pitchness of blackness, my God died for the sins of mankind. But then that rose, it was cut down. That rose was cut, placed in a buried tomb. But thank God, on the third day, he blossomed in the cemetery. For the rose came back to life. The rose blossomed again. The rose shone again. And in the cemetery, when they thought that the devil and the demons of hell had him bound, when they thought that they had him where they wanted him, the rose blossomed again, and he got up out of the grave. My friend, Christmas would have no meaning without the resurrection. Amen. Christmas would have no meaning without Jesus living today. He blossomed in the cemetery, but then he'll blossom at his second coming. He's not coming back as a Christmas rosebud. He's not coming back as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. He's not coming back to be trampled upon and ridiculed and mocked at. He's not coming back, my friend, for folks to laugh at him and to poke their faces at him and stick their finger in his face when he was dying. He's not coming back for men to walk by and pull up all that slobber and spit upon his face. He's not coming back again for Pilate to beat his back and strip him down and naked. He's not coming back again to shed his blood. But thank God, he's coming back again for the saints of God. And the rose is going to bloom again. The rose that was cut down. The rose that was hid away. Thank God, he's going to come victorious. He's going to come in power. He's going to come in majesty. And every eye shall see him. The rose of Sharon, that Christmas rose. I don't have time to preach the entire message, for we'd be here probably till late this afternoon. I do want to give you two or three other thoughts before we have dinner today. How did that Christmas rose blossom? How did he blossom? First of all, he blossomed because he brought captivation. Think about it, my friend. People are captivated by roses. if you were to bring in, and I had tried to hope to find some roses, and I was not able to, but if I were to bring in a dozen roses and set them down, people would look at them, and there would be captivation. People oftentimes begin to stare and look at the captivation, at the roses, as you bring them in. There was an attraction. The Christmas rose of Jesus, the angels were attracted unto him. For the Bible said in Luke 2:13-14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill unto men. The angels, they were captivated at his appearance. The shepherds were captivated at his appearance. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go and even to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has said. And then, my friend, not only the shepherds and the angels, but then the wise men were captivated. The Bible said in Matthew 2, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshiped him. Beloved, may I say that Jesus is one that is captivated. When you find him, all the other things lose their glimmer. Sometimes at Christmas, people try to give expensive gifts. There may be diamond rings exchanged. There may be new automobiles bought. But my friend, may I say the greatest gift of all is not one that's placed beneath the tree, but the greatest gift of all was one that was nailed to the tree. The greatest gift of all, the captivation, is the Lord Jesus. And when you see Jesus, all the earthly things will lose their glimmer. All the earthly gold will lose its shine. But when you see Jesus, you'll be captivated at the very sight of him and say, thank God that he came for me. There's an alluring. That word alluring means there's a beauty about him. His beauty, this gets the attention of those that worship him. It gets the attention of the world. I've never heard anyone, if they were to have a hammer and hit their thumb, they never say, oh, my Buddha. They never say anything like that. If they were to go out and see something in amazement, they never said, oh, my Muhammad. Oftentimes, you'll hear people say, my God. And beloved, can I say, even the lost man in the world today, there is a captivation, there is an allurement to the Savior, that in the heart, in the breast of every man, there is something that pulls us to him that died on Calvary's cross. And the world, in their amazement and their wonder, and all their seeking, and all their looking, and all their drinking, and all their festivities, cannot hold a candle to him that is lovely. Nothing ever will satisfy. But then also about those roses, there is an aroma. Have you ever walked into a florist and you smell the aroma of the roses? Have you ever been to a funeral sometime and you walk in and you smell the aroma of the roses? The roses will permeate the air that's around it. Dr. Charles Weigel, great man of God who is with the Lord today. One time he said as he was invited to a party or a rose garden party, he went to that party that afternoon, and amongst the roses that were on display, as he left there and he went back to the church house, as he walked in, people began to say, I smell rose. I smell roses. And all of a sudden the thought came to his mind, I've been around roses. And because of being around the roses, it gives off a fragrance. And that fragrance has gotten into my clothes. And now the people, they smell my clothes, and they are smelling the rose. Would not it be welcome today that if we get close enough to Jesus and we get around the things of the Lord, when we get out of this old lost and dying and sin-cursed world, that somebody would say, I smell the rose. I smell the rose of Sharon. I smell the Christmas rose. There's something different about your life. There's something different. Could you tell me what happened? What makes the difference in your life and my life? And friend, when we're around the rose of Sharon, it'll give off a fragrance. It'll give off an aroma. And others will be attracted to the rose of Sharon. A Christmas rose. His aromas make sinners smell better. His aromas make saints smile bigger. And his aroma makes the souls of men sing more beautiful. Aren't you glad that God gave us a Christmas rose? And that rose, my friend, blossomed. Like I said earlier, I can't tell you if it was December the 25th. In fact, some people say that he probably wasn't even born in December because of out the shepherds out in the fields tending to their flocks by night. They would not have been out there in the dead of winter. I don't know. But one thing I do know is this, is that the Lord Jesus came. And he came and was born for you and for me. Had he not come, this church service would be in vain. Had he not come, all this activity would be in vain. Had he not come, we would be lost and on our way to a devil's hell. But aren't you glad that there was a rose that blossomed? Aren't you glad there was a rose that bloomed? Aren't you glad that there was a rose that gave off its aroma and old wicked sinners could find peace and relief? Aren't you glad that that rose that day as he walked into Samaria and that wicked woman sat by the wellside and Jesus gave her everlasting life? Aren't you glad for the day that he walked by that old leprous man eaten up with leprosy and he could but just touch him and he'd be healed? Aren't you glad for the day that he walked by an old blind man and touched his blinded eyes and he could see? And my friend, he did the same for you and for me. Yes, there's a rose. That rose blossomed. That rose was cut down. But that rose came back to life, and that rose is coming again. Do you know that Christmas rose? I am the rose of Sharon, and not only just the rose, I don't have time, but he said he's the lily of the valley. I close with this. Most of the time up here on the side of the pulpit, we have some peace lilies. Most people know what those are. They're just a green lily, and they have a white blossom to them. But you know, that peace lily, if you go back to Song of Solomon, chapter 1, he says, I'm not only the rose of Sharon, but I'm the lily. Where at, everybody? In the valley. I'm the lily in the valley. And when you and I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I'm not just talking about death in itself, but I'm talking about that dark, dark valley that you may be going through. You may be experiencing a dark valley in your life this morning that only you know about. You may be here today and you say, preacher, I'm going through just a dark valley. I can't see the light of day. Don't know where the next sunshine beam is going to come from. Preacher, I'm just consumed. Our finances in ruin. My life is in ruin. Our family's in ruin. I'm in a dark, dark valley. Guess what? Not only is he the rose, but he's the peace lily. For he will give you peace. For he is the Prince of Peace. And whatever you may be going through, my friend, don't go through it alone. Go with him, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. For it's down in the valley you'll find the most beautiful flowers.